All right. Hello, welcome to Simple Actions. My name is Evan, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Evan.
For those who care to join us, let us open the meeting with a brief silence for those still sick and suffering and a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. All right, so obviously our mics aren't working tonight, so I appreciate you all bearing with us. And if anyone cannot hear us in the back, please just kind of give us a thumbs up or some, whatever you choose. We'll know, just kind of flail around. We'll know to do something. So the Simple Actions group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all those in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. We are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. Excuse me. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I'll now read the preamble, AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the steps discussed tonight. So this evening we're discussing step 11. And I will read a paragraph on, we're going to start, I marked the wrong page. We are going to start on page 85, and then the panel will share for a few minutes based on their experience. So we're gonna start out on the top. Is that the top of 85? I'm not sure. This says page 85.
Bottom
of 85. Thank you. And let me introduce our panel too. To my right, I have Buster and Jack, and they'll do their introductions as they speak up. So page 85 says, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It should be easy to be vague about this matter. It would be easy to be vague about this matter. Yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Where were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving towards all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? Yay. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So I'll pass this over to Buster.
Thank you. My name is Buster Hawkins, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Buster.
Hey, Buster.
And I try to reaffirm every day that I'm sober by the grace of a loving God. And I stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, trying to be a part of this deal and trying to do what's suggested, what's asked of me, such as be here tonight, to share with you how the 12 steps, good sponsorship, the power and love that's in these rooms, and a power greater than me, helped me crawl out of that hopeless state of mind and body that I was in when I first came here. You know, my sponsor said, Buster, you do these things, life will get better in spite of you. And it has. And it continues to. And I'm grateful to be here. You know, step 11, Bill Wilson, when he was talking about step 11, says, you know, steps 1 through 10 and 12 can help us stay sober. But step 11 is the one that allows us to progress and to grow. I must say that I also agree with Bill that none of us are going to be saints by next Thursday. and he also said that we must adhere reasonably well to these things. And I, as much as I try, I still struggle with a lot of this. And when I say struggle, my will gets in the way and God's goes out to the side. So I'm still working at this. And sometimes I feel like I'm doing fairly well, and sometimes I feel like, now, my gosh, Buster, you can do a whole lot better than this. Anytime I feel that way, I remember what my good friend Wallace H. used to say. And Wallace got sober in Meridian, Mississippi, and he came up to the Suffolk area where I'm from, and my sponsor sponsored Wallace. And Wallace loved the Big Book. And Wallace went to a lot of book studies, and Wallace helped me with the Big Book, along with my sponsor, Tom, like I said, who sponsored him. And Wallace used to tell me, I used to get all upset, Wallace, I'm not doing this right. And I'd ride with Tom and his wife, Hilda, and Wallace and Edwina, because I didn't have a driver's license. And I'd go to meetings with them and go out to eat with them. And I love to hear them talk. And Wallace and I get to talk about what I was doing or not doing. And Wallace would say, Buster, he'd laugh, say, Buster, don't get into the attitude or frame of mind. If you can't be the best, you must be the worst. So I remember that now. You know, I remember that because I know some days are better than others in some of these things I do. For example, prayer is easy to talk with God, but to sit down and listen to Him is a very difficult thing for me. You know, my mind wants to race, and I don't take the time that I need to take. There's some times that I'll, you know, in the morning where I'll take, you know, an hour. There's some times I'll take 20 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then and do some readings. I do some readings that a lot of us in here do, that plus I do some other readings to help me get on the path of where I need to be for the day. You know, I'm a firm believer that a lot of alcoholics do a lot of praying in cars and bathrooms. I just really believe that. And I heard old Max say, he gets up and he said it feels like he's shot out of a cannon. Life starts and he's in the car You know, as soon as my eyes open up, you know, talk about prayer and meditation, as soon as my eyes open in the morning, I thank God for letting me be alive and sober, and in AA and in recovery. Then I thank Him for my family's good health and my good health. And I thank Him for a few other things. And then I roll out of bed and get on my knees, and I sound like a bowl of Rice Krispies. But I get on my knees, and I continue to thank Him for the things that He has blessed me with. And then I also ask Him, please forgive me, God, because I know sometime during the day, I'm gonna act like I'm not grateful. So I tell Him right up front, you know, I'm still working at it, God, please help me. But at some time during the day, I'm gonna act like I'm not grateful, and please forgive me for that. And then I get up, and I'll go to the bathroom, and I might be the oldest one in here, but and I age in prostate, and I go into the bathroom, and over top of the toilet is the prayer that Dr. Bob had on his desk, and I see that every time I go to the bathroom. Forgive me, ladies, but it helps me, you know. And you know, but humility is the perpetual quietness of heart, is to have no trouble, and to never be angry or irritable. And when I get that far, I stop. Say, Buster, you've got a long way to go. And then I got some other prayers on the bathroom mirror that I look at, and continue to thank God for this day, and thank Him for the many blessings that He's bestowed upon me. And you mentioned the word worry, and that's one thing I found out when I did my fifth step. Is that, you know, when we talked about fears, I didn't think I had a whole lot of fears, but I found out by doing that fourth and fifth step that I worried a lot. I worried about my family, I worried about bills, I worried about job, I worried about this, I worried about that, you know. And for me to worry was to drink at it, you know, to remove it. And I've got another thing that I read that tells me that worry is an unintentional form of prayer, that it helps me to focus on the negative possibilities and moves God out. And that my job is to focus on the positive possibilities, ask God to help me, and leave the outcomes to Him. And so, you know, it's a work in progress. It's a journey, not a destination. I heard progress, not perfection. But my goal today, with this 11th step, is to take more time to listen, to be still, you know, and to look for that guidance and direction that I asked for. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jack. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jack. Hey,
Jack.
Things scare me. I am grateful to be alive, and I'm grateful to be sober. And I, too, know it is by the grace of God. This is a gift that I almost missed by this much. And, wow, has my life been transformed. So I am eternally grateful, but being an undisciplined alcoholic, I have to remind myself periodically of my gratitude, which makes these directions a little bit easier for me, because it helps me to remember who's in charge and who's responsible for me being alive and being sober and being useful today, something I had never been before, this fellowship. But anyway, my sobriety date is December 30th of 1996. I do have a home group. That home group now, I just moved here recently, and my home group is a West Kent group, and it meets on Wednesday night. And I do have a sponsor, and oh, Bob don't always tell me what I want to hear, but usually always what I need to hear. And I go on about that. But anyway, and I do sponsor others. Up until I moved here, I had been carrying the message behind the walls for about 14, 15 years, and looking to do the same here. And sort of where I got this thing, my surrender and prayer of desperation came while I was incarcerated for enough time to sober up and to really take an honest look through a few moments of clarity at the desperate situation I was in. And I don't mean by being in jail, I mean by being a helpless, hopeless alcoholic. And all the harm I'd done others. And I'd never known depression like that. And suddenly it was removed. I say suddenly. It seemed like suddenly, but it was over a period of some days. And I asked God to please help me. You know, I wasn't even sure I believed in God. I later found out that I didn't have to believe in God in the beginning as long as I prayed. So, you know, and it makes sense to me now, because that really is my experience. And that ended up being my last drink as of this hour. I always say that as of this hour. And you know, on this first section that was read here of step 11, you know, there's a little bit of a transition or a segue into step 11 from step 10, and for me it's important to sort of fetch me up in taking the action that step 11 calls for me to take. And so it is easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. This is the laurels back here. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. And my sponsor pointed out that that was sort of a negative promise. And so, you know, I don't, say hello to laurels back here every now and then, but thank God it hasn't been to the extent where the obsession has returned, and I'm so grateful to God that it has not returned for from that time being when I was incarcerated. And I want to keep it that way. I really do. I don't feel that desperation and urgency anymore that I did in the beginning, but I must maintain that enthusiasm. I know that. My disease has progressed since I've been sober. So that means I'm sort of called upon to double down a lot of times. And so this, you know, I'm certainly not shy about talking about the power of prayer in my life. And I'll stick to my own experience here. You know, it asks us, were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Well, you know, we were sort of warned to look out for these things in step 10. And that makes perfect sense. There's so much symmetry in this book. And our founders being 3-4 years sober during the drafting of this thing, I said, man, something's going on there. I know where I was when I was 3 years sober, man. I couldn't find my butt with a flashlight in the roadmap. I'd assume they're pretty much like me, wouldn't they, the same way? But so I do that. I don't do it perfectly, and I say that I do it pretty much every day now. That part of it, at least. At night, I particularly concentrate on it when I survey the day that I've just gone through. Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? And, you know, the 10th step sort of goes into the 11th step, and when I ask myself to owe an apology, I usually know I owe an apology long before I retire at night. I can't live with that feeling anymore. I've got to set that right as soon as I possibly can. That may be for selfish reasons, I don't know, but it just makes me feel better. I mean, I got to. I don't even think about it. And do I keep something to myself? I'm not real shy about being chatty sometimes, but with people now that I trust, that can hold a confidence. Boy, is that important for me. My sponsor suggested I get a few 10-step buddies way back. And he says, I may always just answer the phone when you call, Jack. So I have a handful of people I can call if I really need to talk to somebody. And thankfully, it's not about whining or unloading on them or anything like that anymore, although it used to be. But I do this, and I pretty much do this every day now. And was I thinking more of myself today, or was I thinking about what I could pack into the stream of life, or was I thinking about others? And I don't always like the answer I give myself. My nature is to be self-centered and selfish and self-seeking. I'm getting better. And that's okay. That's okay. I ask God to make me useful today as part of my morning prayers. And you know, it was suggested by somebody in this home group a few weeks back. One suggested, he just told me what he did. And as he starts thinking about this 11-step retired night inventory at the beginning of the day, because he's more likely to catch himself if he's at least cognitively aware of it upon waking, you know? I'm just starting to do that. And it's like, as the day goes on, it's like, whoops, ooh, you know? And I'm a little more, I pay better attention. And I know it's important for me to pay attention in just about every respect. But like Buster was saying, you know, I don't do this perfectly. Progress, not perfection, but I shouldn't sink into the self-satisfaction. You know, hey, you know, I'm doing pretty good. But I don't, you know, beat myself up anymore, which I think is a real narcissistic act, beating up on myself. As an alcoholic, I'm not accustomed to beating up on myself. I'm pretty self-centered. But anyway, that's all I've got. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
All right, so on page 86, we have, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead of us. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us the brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answer comes to us after we've tried this for a while. What used to be a hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration we come to rely on.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, Jack mentioned the 10th step, and that has a big promise in it for me. And you know, we cease fighting anything and anybody for by this time, you know, sanity's return, even alcohol for by this time sanity's return. And sanity for me is making decisions based on the truth. Insanity for me was making decisions based on lies, you know, that I can drink one and ain't gonna be as bad this time. And, you know, and by the time I get to step 11, you know, and he mentioned his sponsor too, and I, you know, I'm so grateful for my first sponsor. Tom Hearn, and Tom told me, Buster, you do these things, life will get better in spite of you. I mentioned that earlier. And he mentions he sponsors and people. Jack said he sponsors people, and I do too. I came over here with a group of guys, and another guy that lives over here, not too far from, left us from Suffolk and moved over here, was sitting at the door over there when we came in. And that, what a privilege, what a joy that is, you know. Alcoholics Anonymous works with one alcoholic talking to another. My first sponsor, Tom, died when he was 27 years sober. And his sponsor was a guy by the name of Earl Felton. Earl died with over 50 years. And his sponsor was a guy by the name of Sumner Pugh, and Sumner Pugh helped with a lot of meetings over here and over in the Portsmouth area. And his family got tired of him getting drunk, stumbling across the furniture, coming in the house, and they sent him up to New York to Tyrant's Hospital, and he met Bill Wilson, and Bill Wilson was his sponsor. And all of us in here can trace back, you know, one alcoholic talking to another. That's how this thing works, you know. And and I'm grateful for that. You know, John and Dana and myself. Normally this time, he mentioned the correction facility. We're normally in the Western Tidewater Regional Jail right about this time on Monday nights, trying to carry the message. And that's a privilege to be able to be a part of that. I like to back up a little bit too, and it says, when we're retired, like, these questions we ask ourselves. And one of them is, have we been kind and loving toward all? And most of the time, 99.9% of the time, I have to answer that no. You know, it may not be so much my actions, you know, what I do, but it also my thoughts count now, you know. And I try to work on that too, how I feel about somebody and how I think about somebody. And I heard Father Martin say some time ago in a tape that he wouldn't want anybody to read his mind on a 24-hour basis. I wouldn't want anybody to read mine either, you know, because the kind of thoughts that I have are, you know, are not, in a lot of cases, are not very civil. And forgive me for that, but I just being honest, you know. And, we relax and take it easy. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we tried this for a while, because I try to fight things. You know, I try to pull my way through it mentally and also with my actions. And I've learned, you know, that I need to stop. And I'll tell you real quick that that short prayer that we use, "Thy will not mine be done," you know, that slows my brain down long enough to keep my mouth from going in gear. And I use that quite often, you know, during the day. I'm a salesperson, and I see a lot of people on a daily basis and deal with a lot of people. And, the self-seeking, I obviously I'm there to make a living. I'm trying to, but I also want to be, I want to do what is right for an individual. Thank God for the program for Alcoholics Anonymous, because my sponsor called me a con artist long time ago, and when I first tried to get sober, and I've learned to be a little more honest with the way I conduct myself in my business. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. You know, old Vernon over in Portsmouth says, if I think I hear God talking, it might be Bubba in the alley with a baseball bat. So but I do try, when things come up, to quiet myself, even if I have to go to the bathroom or I'll go outside of the store and quiet myself and ask God for the guidance that I need. And then quiet myself and then see what happens, you know, and I've come to rely on that. And that's all I got right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
This on awakening prayer, I'm pretty faithful to that. I'll tell you why, and I'll be honest. I say that, I ask God to direct my thinking before I even throw the covers off of me. I really do. Better be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives, and a few other things. but I make it quick because I got to go to the bathroom. But I tell you, I got a prostate like us over here.
They don't wait.
No. It's always an emergency. But anyway, I do that, and I'll tell you why. It's because before I was in this habit of immediate prayer upon consciousness, my mind can go many wondrous places between the bed and the bathroom. I can go all kinds of places. I can promise you a lot of them weren't good. I mean, I have this internal chatter machine. It's like this, and I'm rolling around some with all kinds of negative thoughts and worry and gloom and doom stuff, and I just got conscious, and I'm saying, what is going on with me? Thank God I can catch myself. But now, with this prayer, and I've just been quite a while that I have been very disciplined about a prayer, asking God to direct my thinking in the morning, and it has made a big difference. And it's a quick prayer too, so I can get to where I need to go to. And then I get to my chat with God at some point after I make my bed. This is sort of, these things are like when I first got sober, you know, it's like, make your bed, put your shoes up under the bed. So you got to get down and get your shoes. And while you're down there, you know, I used to think I was so silly. I said, you know, you don't have to talk down to me, tell me to get on my knees and pray. But you know what? They did. And it wasn't talking down to me, it was giving me direction. And I always thought when someone gave me direction, they were demeaning. Well, of course, don't you know I already know all that? You know? Uh-huh, right. God, I don't know how I've done this, I'm telling you. Now, I think about the way it was in the beginning, man, I'm telling you. God was walking with me the whole way, as he still does today. But anyway, you know, my spiritual condition generally depends on to degree to which I'm trusting God, you know. And for me, step three is really important with that. I think a lot of things revolve around step three, and this spiritual step puts it into action for me. And it says, we might pay for this presumption and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. and boy, I do. There are spiritual consequences that keep me on my toes. And but I know my thinking is on a much better plane if I am very diligent about my prayer and some degree of meditation in the morning. Meditation takes different forms for me over the years. It has taken different forms. And it had to be in the beginning where I'm focused on one thing, so that internal chatter and conversation is quieted. And I found that God can get through to me then. Now, I always had a problem until recently with perfect quietness and stillness. But not so much more today, you know, and it's been a long road for me for that. And meditation is very useful. I God doesn't speak to me through any kind of burning bush or direct messages, but they're more powerful than that. It's much more powerful than that. There's power and subtlety. And that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Phyllis. All right, we're going to continue on the top, or I keep saying the top, I don't know why. We're going to continue on 87 and what we usually conclude. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Lester?
Thank you. You know, part of the prayers that I say on a daily basis, you know, I ask God to help me to be an instrument of his love and his service, to do his will always, and to help others as he would have me help them. I also thank him for giving me the opportunities and responsibilities to sponsor the guys that I do. And I pray for his guidance and direction to his efforts to help me say the right thing, do the right thing, suggest the right thing, and to especially be the example I need to be. To help these guys to stay sober one day at a time, to seek and do his will, to help others as he would have them do. And that's a big deal for me. Because I've been given the opportunity and responsibilities to help the guys, and my God, they helped me more than I ever helped them. I've got a lot of things that I do on a daily basis that help me, to reminds me of who's in charge, you know. And I've got a prayer that I've carried in my pocket for years, Mother Teresa, and it talks about, you know, that it's between me and God, it's not between me and them, you know, the people I come in contact with on a daily basis. So, I try to stay conscious of that. Freedom from self-will, and I ask that, God's will be done, not mine, constantly. Thy will, not mine, be done. Let's see, there are many, I've got several books that I read. I'm sure that there's several of those that in here that read probably the same books. I also have some that I read that some of the early members of Alcoholics Anonymous read. I read Emmett Fox. I read a few others that help me stay focused on what I need to be focused on, to get out of me and to put it in God's hands. You know, if you got time, I like to read this prayer that I keep with me all the time, because sometimes, you know, during the day, I might run into a situation and I need to say, like I did earlier, to get to myself, maybe in the bathroom or outside. And it keeps me focused on what I need, if it's all right.
Yeah, please.
I think I put a new one in here, because the one I have, I've written a lot of notes on. Anyhow, I've got a new one here. I'm read it, and y'all please bear with me, but it's important to me, and I carry it with me all the time. It's very powerful for me. And Bill Wilson said, be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they have to offer. And anytime I talk somewhere, I use this prayer, because it focuses where I need to be. It says, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. And I keep that, and when things come up during the day, I get to myself and I read that. And this may be probably the 20th, or because I've gone through so many over the past years, I write notes on them, and they get a little dilapidated in my pocket. But that's one of the things that I've got. I'm in my left pocket, I got something in my right pocket, I got something in my wallet that helps me get focused back where I need to be. And that's what helps me, to get out of me and to get back with God, you know. And that's what this 11 step is about anyhow. Bill says it gives us a quiet courage that doesn't strain us, you know, a quiet courage that doesn't strain us. I need something like that. I really do, you know. And you know, courage, I heard Donnie Major speak at the Oceanfront Conference several years ago. Donnie was a lawyer from, I think, up in Kentucky somewhere, and got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. And Donnie said, courage for him is doing the right thing when you don't want to. You know, and that night I said, man, that's great. And I remember that. You know, I might have a customer sitting in front of me, yes, ma'am, that should be in the warehouse. And I go check the inventory, and I come back and I let her know that. And she wants it next week. And to do the right thing is to tell her, no, it's not going to be in the warehouse until a month from now, you know. And there might have been a time in my life where I might have said, well, it might be here in a few days. And a few days is not 30 days, you know. And you know, those are the kind of things that I'm talking about, living situations and being straight with people, being honest with people, and getting out of me and realize it's not all about me, you know. And these are the kind of things that help me. And I've got a I've got a card in my pocket that tells me what my purpose is to prepare myself to be a maximum service to God and those about me. That's in my wallet, you know, and that's my purpose today, to try to be a maximum service. And the 11th step helps me do that. And Bill Wilson, he was talking about, and Bill Wilson said that, you know, I'm not going to have a direct pipeline with God. And he said those people that say that God tells them where to drill for oil or when to brush your teeth, he said they make him tired. And, so, you know, and I understand that, you know, but I do know some people that seem to me they may have a direct pipeline, because they but they are really along, really far along into this spiritual program. I'm just trying. I'm just trying today to do a little bit better. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is just great. my sponsor gave me that prayer about 5 years ago anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
What a powerful prayer.
Very powerful. Very powerful.
Wow. I love this stuff. And, you know, Buster reminded me too, you know, I guess I should share truthfully, you know, what my prayers are generally every day. I say that when we arise, prayer, ask God to direct my thinking, and maybe a little bit later after the first cup of coffee, I'll get someplace quiet and say the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer. And then I have my own little chat with God. That's different every day. But the one thing I do every day, and I almost have since I've been sober, is a prayer of gratitude. It was drilled into me in the beginning. You know, because in the beginning it was just like, you know, I was in all different directions. And I was just, you know, I'm still nuts, but I mean, I was really nuts. And, you know, I get into griping or complaining or something, and my first sponsor, he says, Jack, did you have a drink today? I said, well, no. And he says, And he says, do you remember doing any direct harm to anybody today? So far? Were you able to have some fellowship today? And I did a meeting every day, so I fellowship every day, at least with that, and often other ways too. Oh yeah, I had that today. My first sponsor was Will, and he says, seems like we're building a gratitude list. He says, I want you to do that every day. At the beginning of the day. I have to think about yesterday, about the things I'm grateful for that happened yesterday, and the fact that God had relieved me of a session of drink yesterday too, and since my sobriety day, which has been my experience since that period of time when I was incarcerated. The obsession has left me as of this hour. And so that's always, you know, I always have a gratitude list available to me 24/7. Internally, and I must make it in form of a prayer to let God know that I am aware of what He has done for me. But anyway, those are my prayers in the morning. You know, I have to be honest here, and you know, I don't exactly ask God to, you know, I ask God to make me useful, but I don't say, you know, can you show me all through the day what the next step is to be, and I don't always put it in these words every morning, to be, you know, free from self-will. But of course, I do in the third step prayer, relieve me of the bondage of self. I don't do conclusion prayers so much, but you know, I think I will. Conclusion of my meditation. And in my present sponsor, he says, Jack, I'll tell you, I just pray three times a day. And that's in the morning when I rise and before I retire, and all day. Just three times. What's that? Okay, Bob. So, you know, I find myself in prayer during the day, myself too, a lot sometimes. And anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. All right, we're going to continue on page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of a religious body, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they have to offer. That's kind of what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like I said, I've got several things that I read and several prayers that I do in the morning. And I've got one or two books that people that I sponsor have given me, and I use that too. And what that does is to get me focused. Again, I emphasize that what I need to do more of, what has been suggested to me, and I've talked to my sponsor about this, you know, is I need to take more time to listen. He gave me a little article that was written for Reader's Digest many years ago, as a matter of fact, talked about taking that 1 hour in the morning and to do these things. And I there was a time when on my days off that I could get an hour in, but regular work days, you know, I'm doing good if I can get 30, 45 minutes. And but I do read, and what it does is it helps me focus on the fact that God's in charge and I'm not. And again, I ask God to allow me to be an instrument of His love and His service, to do His will always and help others as He would have me help. And that help them. And that's a big prayer for me, you know, to be of service, to stick my hand out and try to help somebody. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I don't belong to a religious denomination. I was raised Episcopalian, Wiscopay, and but that's just me. That's my experience, and but I promise you, I have an all-powerful God that loves me unconditionally. I remember this one guy I heard in the room say, he says, I've got a God that's just absolutely crazy about me. Named Gene. And so forever. I never forget that. You know, I do witness God's power in my life on a daily basis. And I can't say the AA is my church. I've heard people say that, but that's apples and oranges. This is a spiritual program, and I have done group prayers many times. Most of the time, when I'm joining in prayer with others, it's in Alcoholics Anonymous. But you know, I've noticed something over the last few years of my life. I travel some, and am I speaking loud enough? Okay. I do travel some, and I find myself going into churches an awful lot. Interesting churches, old churches. I'll find a really interesting church in a community. And I want to go in, and it's not for service, just by myself or with others who might be looking at the church or in private prayer inside the church. And I do. I go, if it's a Catholic church, you know, I got these, you know, I can kneeling pads that I can, and I get on my knees and you know, maybe one of the back pews and chat with God. And I don't know where this is coming from. Of course I do. But it's just something that's my experience, and I've been doing that more and more. And recently I was in the UK. I was over there to see my daughter and my granddaughter, and that was also by the grace of God. And I found myself going into churches that were like 600 years old, 800 years old, you know, nothing less than 300, which is about how old this country is. Wow, it was an experience. The numbers of people and the masses of people that have been in there and used this for conscious contact over the centuries, and like all of a sudden I'm here and I'm amidst all of this, and it's overwhelming. It's absolutely overwhelming. To me it was. But anyway, that's all I got on that paragraph.
May I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
All right. My name is Buster Hawkins again. I'm an alcoholic. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, if you'd asked me to give you a definition of spirituality, it would have had a long Southern Baptist ring to it. So I was brought in the Baptist church, you know, and I understood the Baptist church. I used to feel guilty when the bells would ring and I'd skip church. You know, I'd be laying in bed with a pillow over my head trying to not, I was a little block from the church. And I put the pillow over my head trying not to hear the bells because I felt so guilty. And it was always, you know, hellfire, brimstone, guilt, and money. So forgive me. You know, and certain types of offerings. I'm not being critical, please. I just, the way I thought as a kid. But so I was brought up in the Baptist church. And in high school, I started dating this young lady, and she belonged to the Presbyterian church. So I'd go with her on Sunday evenings, and I became vice president of the Presbyterian Youth Fellowship. So I understood a little bit about the Presbyterian church. And then I started dating this lady when I went to college, and she was Roman Catholic. So I asked her to marry me, and we got married, and I studied about the Catholic church, and we got married in the Catholic church. I knew I was set, you know, because she's not going to divorce me, she's Catholic. And after she divorced me, because of my drinking, over a period of time, I'd gotten dry for a period of time, and I met this young lady, and she went to the Episcopal Church. So I went to the Episcopal Church with her. I got very resentful at the Episcopal Church because both of us had been divorced, and they wouldn't let us get married in the church. And I say all this to say this, is that I'm familiar with the God of the churches. And until I was willing to reach out for something greater than me, I had to get beat down by alcohol. I had to really be beaten. The answers were in all the churches I'd gone to. Something other than me can help me, you know, a power greater than me that could help me. But alcohol had to beat me down until I was willing to reach out for help. And when I reached out for help, Alcoholics Anonymous was there and allowed me to develop this relationship with a power greater than me. That my concept of a power greater than me is kind of a mixture of a lot of things. But it's a loving God today that I know that, and I'm sober by the grace of a loving God. And I stay sober in here, being with you people. Because when I fall off the beam, y'all help me get back on the beam and help me realize, Buster, to get yourself out of the way. A lot of these guys that I talk to on a regular basis, we tell each other, stay in today, and then we also end up saying, stay out of the way. You know, because that's the deal today. Realizing God's in charge. And to be of service, you know, to try to help somebody else find this way of life, find the hope that I found in here. My God, I was on the way out. Alcohol was about to kill me, you know. But like Sandy Beach says, to live by spiritual, you know, the book says, live by spiritual principles or die an alcoholic. It's not an easy choice for an alcoholic like me to make. But I got beat down, and y'all were there to show me that y'all had done it. And that was the bridge from step one to two for me, to step two, was the fact that if it worked for you, then possibly it could work for me. And I saw what y'all were doing and how you developed this relationship. Don't get me wrong, I go to churches and I still go to churches, and there's a certain amount of peace that I get by being in a church and being around people doing this thing. You know, my sister's very active in church, and my nieces and nephew, I got three nieces and one nephew, all of four of them going to Liberty University, which is a good school, and they look out for their Uncle Buster and make sure that he's tied in with God. Thank you.
I think that's a perfect place to end it. We did have two more paragraphs that I'll just read to finish this up. So to continue on page 87, as we go through the day, we pause. When agitated or doubtful, we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. And then to continue on page 87, we alcoholics are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way that we've just outlined. But this is not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. So that'll be next week. And so what we're going to do now is pass the seven tradition basket around. And the seventh, we're going to read the self-supporting green card. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. And we're going to open up to announcements, and I'll just start with this group, Simple Actions, is doing a supper and a speaker on July the 28th. We're doing 6 p.m. potluck supper, bring a dish if you wish, and 7 p.m. speaker meeting, or the speaker will start. It's Will B. from Richmond, and we'd love to have you guys come out and pass the word around, and please take as many flyers as you want. And are there any other AA announcements?
The 2nd of August, Cornerstone will be celebrating its 2-year anniversary. They're going to have it in this church. They're going to start at 6 with a luau potluck, and KH is going to be speaking at 7 p.m. So food at 6, speaker at 7. And luau, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
My home group is Joyce Recovery. We meet Thursday night, and we're having a workshop with the principals group this coming Thursday. It's going to be from 7 to 9, and it's going to be on sponsorship and home group. And we're inviting people out. It's going to be some snacks, but we're going to have two people from each group share for a half hour each on sponsorship and home group. So if you want to come out, we'd love to see you.
All right. Thank you. Yep.
I have one more. If you know, or if you need for yourself or know someone who needs a babysitting meeting, my home group on Thursday nights at 7, closed big book study with babysitting, free babysitting. And it's 745 Little Neck Road, King Street Presbyterian. It's called Third Door on the Left. It's literally Third Door on the Left. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, so Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us raising our hands, home group members. All right, awesome. A lot of people. Newcomers, Is there anybody in their first 30 days of sobriety? We do this not to embarrass you, just to welcome you here to our group. Anybody?
Yeah.
Beth. Welcome. Anybody else? All right. So sponsorship question. Sponsorship is yours, so we ask you. We ask you, do not delay it. If you have any questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, I believe Rick will be up here for the men, and Catherine will be up here for the ladies, and we'll be available, they'll be available up here at the close of the meeting, and please ask them any questions you have about sponsorship. Don't leave here without a sponsor if you don't have it. And literature is right there. The big books are for sale for a nominal price. And anything that you can bend or fold is free. And so in closing, let's thank our speakers, Buster and Jack, again.
Oh, man. I enjoyed it.
So thank you to all who participated. And afterwards, after we clean up, all are invited and welcome to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight as we go to the wonderful Mexican eatery, Plaza del Sol, right up the street. It's usually a great time, a great way to get fellowship. That definitely saved my life when I was first coming in here. Probably still does. So please come out with us after the meeting. So can I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Jessica. Our hope is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will consistently disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation if you can what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. Your own health is in order, but obviously cannot commit your health is in order. But obviously cannot transmit something you have with God. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road and have a destiny. May God bless you.
And we close this meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Dita, you want to take us out, man?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and glory, forever and ever. Amen.